Right, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll sing a song. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the day and for life and health and strength. For the desire and ability to be out here, Lord, and the will to make it happen. Please bless our time in your presence and around your word. And I pray, Lord, we take and use this time to work in our hearts and minds to help us to grow and to learn. Strengthen us, Lord, I pray. Comfort us, make us bolder and wiser. Thank you for the opportunity to be out at the present link this afternoon and for the three folks that we got a chance to speak to. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Thank you for being our constant companion, the friend that sticketh close in the world. Cleanse us and refresh us, Father, I pray. Forgive us where we've led you down. And Lord, point us in the right direction. And I pray, Lord, that we will have the good sense to follow. Be with our sister churches, wherever they might be. And Lord, I pray that you would edify the saints and save lost souls. Loving, thank you. Pray all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a song or two. The big books. You want to take and turn to hymn number 200. Have you got one, Norman? I haven't really asked for requests this past week.
I'm going, you know.
Good for it. A lovely little ballad. Mrs. Bradfield, you sang yours this morning, by the way.
It wasn't packed on mine at the church.
I'm going to edit that out in post-production. Hymn number 240. Number 55 on the back. good to sing number six now?
Yeah.
The vocal cords aren't too stretched by the previous one song.
They didn't see it.
Do you want to borrow here? I'm not actually using my long-sighted glasses. Try those and see if they're any good at you. Because I couldn't see anything with them. There's a wee mark just on the left hand.
Almost
the dollar shop name would be more like it. Number six, there is a green hill.
That's green hill.
Literally. James chapter 1, James, John, Jude, and Revelation, so only three or four books from the back of the Bible, the Epistle of James. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the wretch in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace and the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of time. Of his own will begat he us, with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bragging not his tongue, but the seed of his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Your religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen. Amen. Wee reminder of our announcements. Don't forget and make sure that you have one of the wee pink sheets. We're glad to see Frank here. And not that we'll be glad to see him go again, but we'll be glad to hear that he arrives back safely in London again tomorrow morning. So please do pray for Frank. Frank needs prayers. Please pray for Frank. Pray for Ling and Dr. Shang, for Will, for Pat and Steve, for each other. And don't forget Charlotte and Colin as well. Amen. Did you have
80
in the black book? Over to the black book. Go to the back. It's pretty much must be at the back, isn't it?
It's the black.
This is our Christmassy one. Amen. Let's stand as we sing as with gladness. Lamb of old. Number 9. There we go. Hymn number 80. It's number 9 in the music machine. Under our fine verses.
Thank you.
books out for swap our hymn books out for our Bibles. And I would like to direct you this evening to Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5. I'd like to think on the topic of you first. You first. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, beginning in verse number 22. Amen. Deuteronomy 5, verses beginning at 22. We're going to read maybe 10 or so verses. If you're spent a moment or two, if you're there whilst I'm waiting, and you look back to the prior verses, you will actually see one of the renditions of the Ten Commandments. There's another instance in Leviticus, I think it's around about Leviticus 18, which gives the other another copy of the Ten Commandments, but we're not going to read those this evening. We are going to read on from verse number 22, and think of for a month or two in the subject of you first. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the midst, and sorry, in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them into tables of stone, and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and ye said, Behold, the Lord our God hath shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God, speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Go thou near, and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and their children forever. There's a promise and a half if you ever heard one. Go say to them, get thee into your tents again. But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Amen. Verse number 24 and verse number 27. Those are text verses this evening. And we're speaking on the subject of you first. Have another wee prayer and then we'll continue on. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, please bless us now as we open your word. And even just the reading of these millennia-old scriptures, Lord, I pray that you would open our understanding of them and just bless this time in your presence. Thank you for loving us, Lord. I pray that you would inspire and bless all those that stand to preach the full counsel of your word. And Father, most importantly, that your will would be done. We love you and praise you. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. And we pray all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. You first is the title for the message this evening. And I want for us to take a quick look at the people here that are speaking to Moses. It's Moses and the Lord and the people of Israel. and just see what was going on in their hearts and minds and see how similar it is to people today. As you may have guessed, we're having a little bit of a recounting of what happened when Moses went up into the mount to get the Ten Commandments. Didn't go so well the first time, because whenever Moses was up there for the 40 days and nights, the children of Israel, they started worshipping idols, the golden calf. And it cost them 3,000 men that were running around half naked and partying. And Moses had to go up and get them again. And he just recounts them to us. But Moses also recounts the thoughts of the people. And they were terrified. They were terrified that if they heard or even were in the presence of God, that they would die. In fact, it says that in verse number 25. Why therefore should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. That was on the thoughts of their minds. And that's not the case. Moses spoke to him, spoke to the Lord. Abraham spoke with the angel of the Lord. The Lord dealt with many men over the years, over the generation. But in a way it is correct, because whenever you do speak with the Lord, and if you spend time in the Lord's presence, things don't always go the way we would like for them to go, because the Lord, you can't pull the wool over the Lord's eyes. The Lord knows exactly. He knows whenever you're trying to pull a fast one. In fact, let's be honest, anyone that's trying to pull a fast one, the last person you're going to try and fool is God, because he knows full well. You go into the presence of God, the plan is that you should die, but that God should live in you. It should be your aspirations and your hopes and your dreams and your ambitions and maybe all of your lusts and all of your plans should take second place to God's. A lot of people's not up for that. They want to hear about the Word of God, and they want to know about the Word of God, and they want to know that God's fighting for them, and they want to know that God will save them at some stage in the distant future. But they don't want to actually go into the presence of God, because they know it would mean that things would have to change. A lot of people's not up for that. If we were to go way over to the New Testament, to the Gospels, the Lord made an interesting observation. And he said, you've heard, I mentioned it from time to time, it talks about if your right eye offend, you pluck it out. Or if your right hand offend, you cut it off. Or if your right foot offend, you cut it off. In other words, if you're always looking at things and lusting after them, or if you're always doing wicked things or going to bad places, well, stop going. Stop doing and stop watching. It doesn't literally say to cut your hand or your leg off. It's basically saying curtail your activities, even if it seems like you would be only half the person you used to be. That's what God said. Are you not far better going to heaven, maimed or lame or blind, the Lord said, than going to hell as a complete person? Because in the endless ages of eternity, you will not just be complete, you will be perfect. And if you go into the presence of God, first of all, the Bible says if you want to please God, you have to believe that he is, in Hebrews, and you have to believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you go searching for God, you're not looking for a buddy. You're not looking for a mate that will have your six. You're looking for God. And if you enter into the presence of God, goodness, what happened to the woman at the well? Do you remember, we spoke about her there not that very long ago, I think it was in John chapter 4. The Lord said to the woman at the well, go and get your husband. And she said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, well, you've said that right. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with, you're not even married to. And the woman noted that Jesus told her all things that ever she did. And that's the rub, you see. People are not prepared to face up to all things that they ever did. And that's what why the conviction of the Holy Spirit is not breaking through to people, because people are not prepared to face up to their own sins and say, Lord, I really did those things. I said those things. I was in those places. I hurt those people. I'm really sorry about that, Lord. In fact, I'm so sorry. I am going to turn away from it forever, and I am going to turn to you. And what does the Lord say? What does the Word of God say to us when we do that? The Bible says we become a new creature. A new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. In other words, we will die. The old Mark that was hell bound. The old Mark that was a liar, a thief, an adulterer, a murderer, a blasphemer, a pagan worshipper, an idolater. The old Mark died. Whenever I got down on my hands and knees in that wee church hall in Glengormley and just said to the Lord, admitted to the Lord, Lord, you know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. The people here don't know a thing about me, Lord. Would you please save me? And in that moment, I changed from having my feet on the broad road that leads to destruction, and my feet were planted on the straight and narrow road that leads to life. My name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There was a mansion in heaven was prepared with my name on it, and you in a glorified body, waiting for me when this one's done. I died when I came into the presence of the Lord. And a new Mark was born, hence born again. And it's good to do that. It shows there's, at the very, very least, an iota of maturity. An iota of iron in your blood or grit in your craw, that you're able to face what you've said, done, the places they've been, the people. You're able to face that in the presence of God and say, God, I'm sorry. In fact, so sorry, I'm turning away from that. And whenever you do that, whenever you literally repent of your sins, you need space in your heart for the Holy Spirit. That is what makes you a new creature. That is what saves you until the day of redemption. That is what makes you a child of the King of Kings. That is what fills in your adoption papers. It gives you the spirit of adoption whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. And there's nobody else can do that for you. Not one person. Your mummy and daddy can't do it. Your best friend can't do it. Your spouse can't do it. Your children can't do it. There's no priest or minister can do it. There's nobody to say, oh, you go first. It's you have to go first. You have to go. And you have to talk to God. And you have to repent. And when you do that, when you open that door that's been knocking on, sometimes for years, and let's be honest, I know for myself it was for years, the Lord says he will enter in and sup with you, and you with him. Make you his little brother. A son of the King of Kings. A high priest, a prince. One of God's family, one of God's children. And that's an amazing thing. It is an absolutely amazing thing. And it's something, it's probably a little bit like going to the dentist. There is so much fear. And I'm sure no small amount of discomfort is, as it said in the book of Joel, that one of the things the Lord would do in the last days is to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. All flesh receives the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But not all flesh receives the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Only those that make space for it in their hearts. And it is you that has to go for it. I have known people that will never get saved because they refuse to admit their sin. That's just it. And instead of doing this, instead of taking that step, and instead of speaking to God on their own behalf, instead of entering into his presence, instead of experiencing that love and that forgiveness firsthand, instead of becoming a child of the King of Kings, they will spend their whole lives doing something else. The people here in Deuteronomy, they said, we want you to go and do it. Believing that somebody else speaking to God and telling God of their sins and hearing from God the inspiration of the things that they need to hear, that is going to be sufficient to save them. That has never saved anybody in the whole history of mankind. No minister has been able to, in his own power, save one of his congregation. No granny has ever been able to pray one of her grandchildren into heaven. No priest, no matter how, or no pastor, no layman, nobody, no matter how eloquently they have preached the message, no matter how perfectly they have mentioned those verses in John 14, in my Father's house, for many mansions I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. No matter how eloquently you speak those words at the funeral service of someone that has gone into eternity, that's not going to change their eternity in one little bit. If that soul never sought out God and never accepted his free gift of everlasting life, they're not saved. And that's just a long and short one. That's a fool's errand. To send somebody else. Many people have this. On the one hand, they have this picture of God as this great big Santa Claus figure. He just wants you to come and tell him what it is that you want, and he'll get it for you for Christmas, and as long as your good deeds outweigh your bad, you'll be grand. It's not my God. My God loves me, but he loves me as a loving and responsible father, which means if I need a thick ear, I get a thick ear. If I need an arm under my arm to lift me up, I'll get that arm. If I need protection, I'll get protection. If I need a word, he'll provide a word. If I need the ministrations of angels, they'll be dispatched to look after me. That's the love. It also means that I will be stopped in my endeavors sometimes if they are heading in a harmful direction. Because I go to God. And I go to God every day. I thank him for my food. I thank him when I wake up in the morning. I thank him whenever I read the scriptures. And the number of times I said to him, Lord, I'm not looking for a message. I'm just reading to read. And he draws my attention to a verse like this. One verse that I have read dozens of times in my life. This is the first time I've seen it. You go first. You go before me. You pave the way. You do it. And I will stand back here. And as you go and bear your soul to God, I will receive all the benefits of it. That's not the way it works. If you want God's forgiveness, you have to ask him. If you want, remember the poster we used to have up in the ladies from Isaiah 40 and 31? They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary, and run and not faint. I have to wait upon the Lord. And then the Lord will bless me with the fulfillment of his promise. If I want the assurance in my heart that my life is worth something, it is me that has to get saved. It is me that has to obey the Lord. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. It's me that has to do that. In Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, if you want to please the Lord, hide his word in your heart. Memorize the scriptures. Especially the ones you're reading that jump out at you and say, you're going to need this at some stage in the future. Commit it to your memory. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. If I commit scripture verses to my memory, they will keep me from sin. That's an if then. It's me that they keep. And no matter how eloquently I speak, no matter how I inspire you for the hour that you're here, it's not going to keep you from sin unless you take and memorize it. You are not going to be able to mount up with wings as eagles unless you wait upon the Lord. You will not be able to run through a troop or to leap over a wall unless you run your flag up the Christian flagpole. It is only God that can make the best out of your life. He says he will make your feet like hinds' feet and set you on your high places if you go to God, if you listen to God, if you do what God calls you to do, if you bless your enemies and feed them when they're hungry and heap coals upon their head so that they know that what's in you is greater than what's in them. It only works when you yourself go first. Nobody else can do it for you. But that's what God wants. It's like having a friend of a friend. They're a friend of a friend. They're not your friend, but they're a friend of a friend. And you can't go and ask them for milk. Or you're a friend of Clyde, can you give me a pint of milk? Or you're a friend of Clyde, can you give me a lift to the petrol station? Or you're a friend of Norman, would you ask Norman to lend me his tools? No. You have to go yourself. And this is what God wants. God wants for us to talk honestly. God wants for us to be honest. God wants for us to grow. God wants for us to learn and to be bold and not to be afraid of what other people say. God wants for us to lean on his promises. The one that I lean on and that is on my mind the most is the one that the Lord gave to his disciples, and he said, when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall say, for it will be given you in that same hour what you'll say, and it will not be you that speaks, but it will be the Holy Spirit that speaks in you. These are personal promises. These are only to be found whenever you approach God yourself. If we were to go right back to the beginning of the Bible, the thing that described the relationship between God and Adam and Eve was in the cool of the evening, God used to walk and talk with them in the Garden of Eden. And when you're walking, you're just spending time with a person, you're doing something, although not too strenuous mentally or physically, so that you're able to compose your thoughts and you're able to converse and think upon things and discuss things. You may even find as the walk goes on that you bear your heart and soul to a person in a certain capacity. And they will do the same to you. But it's a relationship. It's a friendship. And there'll be a bit of back and forth. There'll be a help outgoing and there'll be a help incoming. I know God doesn't need anything from us in much the same way as Ling doesn't need anything from Frank. But because he, remember we were talking earlier on, he was saying, well, Frank, are you financially independent? And what did he say? Mostly, but my mum and dad still help me out a little bit. They don't need Frank to send them money. They don't need Frank to provide them a home. They have all that already. And because they love him, and because he is their son, they help him. And that's what God wants. We have a relationship, if we're saved, we're adopted children. But we can have fellowship when we walk and talk with God, when we approach him. In the Old Testament, God said to Moses, whenever he was up receiving all of his instruction, he said, well, Moses said to God, God, I would like to see you. I would just like to see you. God said, Moses, even though you're my judge, he didn't say this, but I'm filling in the gaps. Even though you've been the leader of the people, and even though I have had my hand upon you for all these years and you're about the best of the best, even if you were to look at me, my power and my glory would burn away the sin that is upon you, would kill you. Because sin can't abide the presence of God in any form or fashion. Remember what Moses did? He hid in a little cleft of the rock, and God said, I'll tell you what I can do, but I'll go past you, I'll hide you in the cleft of a rock, and I'll cover you there with my hand, and whenever I go past, you can look upon my back, but you can't see me face to face. It would be too much for you. We know that Abraham met with the angel of the Lord, and met even the Lord. And a number of other Old Testament prophets met with angels and possibly even the Lord. And many times they thought, oh, my life's over. And they fell flat on their faces, prostrated themselves before expecting their end. And many times did the angel of the Lord or the Lord lift them up and say, stand up, talk. Do you remember whenever our Father in Heaven spoke in the cloud, whenever the disciples were up with Jesus and Moses and Elijah, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, and scared them with daylights out of them. Thought their lives were over. God promised his children, in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, that we can come boldly into the holiest only because we're trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that makes it possible. And whenever you're saved, you don't have to wait once a year for the high priest to go into the Holy of Holies with the blood of the bulls and goats in his hands to offer a sacrifice on your behalf. You don't have to wait until the Sabbath and go to the high priest and say, Rabbi, would you please lift up a prayer to God for me? You don't even have to wait until you go home. The Bible says we can come boldly as the need arises, as the thought crosses our minds. We can go and say, Heavenly Father, I'm in a bit of a bind. Or Heavenly Father, you'll never guess. Or Heavenly Father, thank you. I've been thanking the Lord today. We got to speak to three people. There was one lady I hadn't seen for 5 or 6 years. I used to work with her husband in Desmond's. Anyway, I haven't seen him in years, but I've seen her a few times. Her name is Tracy. And then there was another lady pulled up in the car. And you always wonder what people are going to say when they pull up beside the car in the car. Would you believe me? The worst interaction I ever had was with a Methodist minister who pulled up and said, I don't like the way you're doing that. You're not doing that right. I was a minister, supposedly a saved man, and I said, I like the way I'm doing it better than the way you're not doing it. A wee Catholic woman turned up from England. She said, do you know what? Everybody needs to hear that. You're doing a great job. Got a chance to talk to her for 10 or 15 minutes. And I thank the Lord for that. As Monica commented when we were on our way home, the number of beeps coming out of cars were much more friendly than usual. I think there was one long beep, but there were 3 or 4 short beeps, and all were beep, beep. You know the way you do, just to let people know you're there. The ones that go down the horn, you know they've got nothing but devilment on their minds. God said, we can come boldly before. Philippians chapter 4 says, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. In other words, if you want to converse with God, that's your prayer. If you want to plead with God, if you have something to ask him, with supplication, with begging, and with thanksgiving, Lord, thank you. And when folks didn't turn up for church this evening, that annoyed me, because I don't know about you, but I need to be in church. And I need, even if it's only myself, I need to be preaching, and I need to be reading, and I need to be praising, and I need to be praying. I thought, you know what? I said, Lord, I'm not going to let those that have let me down get me down. I thank you for the people we got to speak to. And for those that we got to speak with, sorry. There were 3 we got to speak with, but there was 400 or 500 we got to speak to. And I just pray that some of those words will find a wee spot in our hearts. I would love to see them in church, but I would certainly rather have them in heaven than in church. And if it takes them to go through, experience the rapture from the wrong end and experience the tribulation from the wrong side, and to be one of the 4 billion, give or take, that makes it through out of the 8 that there are on the earth right now, if that's what they need, well then so be it. But we can come boldly before God. Even there I'm saying, Lord, I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. Lord, what do the people need to say? And then I remember his promise, don't worry whenever you're on the spot. I'll give you the words to say. And so I start out with, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the open-air gospel outreach from Bethel Baptist Church. My name is Mark Bradfield. I look after Bethel Baptist Church, bbcib.com, out in the Maboy Road. Give them the service times, and then I think I'm one of the Bible verses we mentioned in the morning service, and I'm off. And that can be me for half an hour, 45 minutes, until someone comes up or I run out of words. You might think that's impossible, but there you go. But it's so very sad to see in these days so many people in a so-called Christian country that hate God. Or maybe it's not that they hate God, but they're strangers to God. So many people that spend so long trying to drown out the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Oh goodness, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay up till I'm knackered on Saturday night. Then I'm going to sleep in until lunchtime on Sunday. And then I'm going to get out to the shops. And then I'm going to go home and I'm going to make the dinner. And then I'm just going to watch a movie. And then I'm going to go to bed. And then I'll be working. And I'll not have to think about my eternal soul for the whole of the Lord's day. And then they do that for the rest of the week. And then they do that for the rest of the month, the year, the decade. And before you know it, they're in a hospital on oxygen. Or their organs have quit and their time is up. And they're stepping fearfully into the dark. And I wouldn't want that for anybody. And God doesn't want that for anybody. Because each and every one of us personally is going to stand in front of God. And when that day comes, how many people do you think want somebody else standing in their place? They'll be saying, preacher, do you remember you told us about getting saved and we thought it was a great message? They'll be saying, yes. Do you mind if we stand in your place up there where God's wrapping his arms around you and saying, well done, thy good and faithful servant? The preacher will go, you must be joking. Do you not remember that service? You first. You should have been the first one up there, not me. You. I hope you get what I'm saying. You will get your salvation when you repent of your sin to your Savior and trust Him. Nobody else is going to get it on that day, on that moment. Just you. That's why it's so important. You can't live a you first life. You go first. You do that for me. That might work for doing the dishes, or painting the wall, or cutting the grass. You can do that for me. The new place doesn't work. 2 places. When you get married, and when you get saved, it's entirely up to you. I would hate to think of this woman down here being married to somebody else when she should have been married to me. I would. I'm glad I got her, and I'm thanking the Lord for her. Ladies and gentlemen, I think I'm actually sounding like I do up at the crowd. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I sound like the announcer in the circus. You will go as far as you want to go in your Christian life and you will learn as much as you want to learn from the Word of God, and you will walk and talk with God as much as you want to walk and talk with God. He never tells anybody, you know what, you've talked to me enough. He never tells anybody, you have gone with me far enough. I don't want you walking with me any further. He never, ever does that. In fact, we read in James, one of his examples, is anybody a bit short in wisdom? Do you want to know more about your Bible? Do you want to know how to thread it into your life? Do you want to know how to take and use it to refute the arguments of the world? Come to me. Any man, if any of you lack wisdom, let him come to God who giveth liberally to all men. Let him ask of God who giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not. And he'll give him. God will help you. He's not going to help somebody else on behalf of you. He's not going to help you on behalf of somebody else. God will help you. God will save you. God will lift you, comfort you, strengthen you, embolden you. There is so much stuff out there for us, but you have to go and ask for it. It's entirely up to you. Your place in heaven has been bought and paid for. All you need is the keys, and Jesus has them. You don't go to him with an open and empty, a repentant heart, you don't get them. If you do, your soul will be saved for free, forever, and for sure. And Jesus will secure this plan along with the plan of God Almighty. And the Holy Spirit will see you on the inside until the day you stand in front of him and you have no more sin nature and no more problem. But it will be because you chose. You chose. Don't let anybody cheat you out of a blessing of God. If God puts something upon you, the way I used to think about it, and to a certain extent I still do, whenever we're in church, there's a part of me doesn't want to be here. A very small part of me. There's a part of me doesn't want to go up to the Crescent Link retail park. And it's a bit like sitting in the dentist, the part of you doesn't want the dentist drilling in your mouth with a diamond tip drill running at 3,000 RPM. But you know what? Whenever the work is done and the discomfort is past, you're always glad. And I am always glad that I have taken the time to obey the Lord and do what he asked me to do, because it means I can go and do something else. I can go on bigger and better things. I'm doing more for Jesus. But that's entirely up to me. And those men said, you first. What they were really doing was giving Moses all of their blessings. And it's the same with us here and now. Thankfully, God is not like the National Lottery. He has an unimaginable fortune of blessings and helps. They are not diluted. If everybody turns up looking for them, everybody gets exactly the same. They get a fortune. So I would urge you not to be a stranger from God. Seek him out and ask him questions. I know all of us sitting here this evening, God has ministered to us and helped us when we needed him. Literally working in our lives to make things miraculously happen. I know that from what I've been told by you guys. And I know from my own life, God works in people's hearts and people's minds and directly in their lives when they know. Whenever we go to him. I wouldn't want my life to be any different than that. I love it when God works in my life, and it's amazing and it's uplifting and helps you see beyond all the hustle and bustle of the day. So I urge you, don't let anybody steal your blessings. Amen. If you take the wee black books and go to number 29, this is becoming one of my favorite end of service songs. Precious Lord, take mine. Turn there and let's stand as we sing. Hymn number 20. Heavenly Father, how many people right now, Lord, are coming boldly into your presence? I'm glad we didn't have to make an appointment. That appointment was made in the cross of Calvary, when you give us a good sense to accept you as Savior. Thank you, Lord, for the day. For every experience, for every time, moment that we had with you, for every time that we had to tell other folks about you, and for just lifting up the praises, the tithes, the offering, the fellowship, Lord, just everything. Please use this, Lord, to work not just in our hearts, but in the hearts of those around about us. Please save souls. Please, Lord, ready us for the coming week. We love you and thank you. We pray all these things. And of course, Lord, you know, for our private prayer requests. We pray for those two. And for those souls, Lord, for whom Remembrance Day is a very real and personal experience, I pray for them as well. Please save souls. We love you and thank you. Pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. She has fellowship for a bit.